Well, yo, 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 yo. Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Person of Interest with me, Natalie Jones. How are you? Today we have Derek Brazil, friend of mine. We're getting even closer as the days go on. I love this man and I admire his entrepreneurial spirit and how he just gets things done. He's currently the owner of Pata Roja Tacos, just opened their first brick and mortar. In addition to their already existing, which has been for years, taco truck on Court Street in downtown Cincinnati. And he's also one of the founding members of Mortar, M-O-T-A-R, which is an entrepreneurial catalyst organization, nonprofit in Cincinnati that helps entrepreneurs take the next steps in order to launch their dream. He is fantastic. You can follow him on Instagram at Derek Brazil. That's with two R's, B-R-A-Z-I-E-L, and at Pata Roja Tacos. You can find them on Instagram. He is fantastic. He is smart. He is funny. Everybody, welcome my friend Derek. Thanks. Would you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Derek Brazil. I'm a Pisces.
Yeah, you are. Your birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday.
My birthday is tomorrow. Thank you. I'm a person that loves Cincinnati. I love traveling, going to places like Mexico City, and I love tacos.
Yeah. Okay, so are you from Cincinnati?
I'm not from Cincinnati. I grew up in Northern Virginia.
Oh.
I followed a girl here to Cincinnati.
Tell me all of that. This is something I don't know anything about.
Well, my best friend is from Cincinnati, mm-hmm. and I was dating someone who wanted to travel to Cincinnati and experience the city for the first time, so mm-hmm. we traveled here, and he gave us this incredible tour. We saw Music Hall, we saw all the murals, we ate some of the good food, and we decided that we were going to move to Cincinnati together, and I helped her move in one weekend, and we broke up, and it was a very tough moment in my life, but a very formative moment, because through all that trauma and sadness and all that, I fell in love with Cincinnati. I got to see all the really wonderful things that were happening here, and I knew that this was a place where I wanted to live.
Wow. What year was this?
This was 11 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, welcome, babe. Welcome.
I love Cincinnati.
Alex, that's so cool. As I'm from Cincinnati, I am originally from the west side, then I moved to the east side, then I lived downtown. I wasn't living in Cincinnati, the city itself. I've been in Over the Rhine since 2008. So it's great. I love, as I was gone, the city really blossomed mm-hmm. and got a makeover. And during that time, so many people like yourself came and stayed.
And what brought you back?
My parents. Mm-hmm. My parents both grew ill, and we lost my dad last year. And my mom, it's cool. It's life. And then my mom now has a disease similar to ALS, so now she lives in senior living. And this is not insensitive to say, but if anybody who knows and has been on that journey with their parents or whenever you will, when big lifestyle pillars like that happen, unfortunately, like your breakup or whatnot, it only changes you for the better. And I think changes you for, to me, it just made life so much clearer.
Right.
And easier.
Right. It makes you focus on what really matters.
100%. So it's been really, really beautiful the past couple of years.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Well, it's great that you're in Cincinnati too.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are so many people that are here at the same place, at the same time, doing cool things.
Yeah.
And if you just take a step back and think about how lucky we are to be around so many creative, smart, interesting people when they're all exploring their own journey at the same time, it really makes you appreciate where we are as humans, but also Cincinnati.
Yes, and in the time and place too. Like, I feel like timing is huge.
Huge.
Throughout all of this. So speaking of doing cool things, so Derek, okay, so you aren't from Cincinnati, but you started Mortar, and mm-hmm. does that still exist,
it
right?
It does still exist, and we're growing all across the country.
But you're no longer involved with it, right?
I'm on the board.
You are still
so
on the board?
Very involved, but not as like a traditional staff person.
Okay, cool. So you started it with, I know William Thomas, but I don't know the other guy.
Yeah, so Alan Woods is our executive director and a co-founder, and we met in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So Alan and I met in Indianapolis when I was doing some other work there, and we partnered. Alan moved to Cincinnati, and then when I moved to Cincinnati, we were kind of still working in similar spaces.
Yeah.
And as the Mortar journey started, I knew Alan was the missing link to help Billy and I kind of take this to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So the three of us got together, we started it. And Alan has grown the organization way bigger, doing way more things than we could have ever imagined. And to see him in a great space, doing great work, it makes me feel really great as well.
That's pretty cool. So Mortar is an entrepreneurial accelerator.
Correct.
And I'd say a little school. Like, how do you describe it?
So I would say it's like a clearinghouse. So okay. Whatever your needs might be along the entrepreneurial journey, whether you need access to capital, we have funding that we can provide, some investment funding we can provide, mm-hmm. whether it's access to space. We have pop-up spaces for you to test your ideas in real time. Whether it's education, we have an accelerator that teaches you the building blocks of business. And we also have this huge community. So if you feel like you're alone and isolated, we kind of provide those wraparound services so you can feel like you're supported every step of the way. I knew that I had an idea a long time ago, which was now Potteroha.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where to get resources. I didn't know where to find my community. I didn't know where to do any of these things.
Yeah.
I couldn't find a location. And Mortar was created to provide the resources to help along that journey. So that's what we do.
This is so cool. So I've known about Mortar for a long time, and mm-hmm. I didn't know who you were, and I didn't know your involvement. I didn't know exactly what it was or look too much into it. I know that there have been other entrepreneur accelerators in Cincinnati over the years, and I like your particular spin on it and how
you guys
are putting money back into your community, back into the community as in like the city of Cincinnati. And when you say community, I think that's exactly what you've built around Potteroha, like a big community of people. To me, I feel like, I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I'm like so one-sided on so many of the things that I do. I'm just like always working, you know? But you have really planted seeds, the roots are growing or whatnot, so.
My impression of you is that you do the same thing, though.
Really?
For sure.
Oh, no way.
Absolutely. I feel the way that I see you on social media, the way that I see you show up, one word I would use to describe you as well is a community builder.
Oh, wow.
So it's like the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah.
I definitely admire you for a lot of the same ways.
Oh, so cool. I definitely don't think of myself as that at all. So thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes we are so deep in the weeds, whether it's with our work or our lives. We always know the things that we're trying to improve that we can't take a step back and recognize how others might see us. You know, maybe we would feel differently about ourselves
if
we knew that.
How do you, I mean, I never think about that. And sometimes my boss will shake me and like bring me into a room and be like, you cannot do this because people are listening. And I'm like, I'm just living my life. And she's like, no, there's more going on here. I'm like, so you started, I really want to know about your journey with Potteroha and how it's conceptualized, it's everything. So I know Derek from my friend Chrissy Rubio, and she told me about Say So when it was opening and her friends were in it. And she's just like, no, Derek's getting a taco truck in the back. And I was like, who is this guy? In my mind, I was like, this guy's so cool. Oh, my God, what's going on? And then through Say So, I have gone and eaten your tacos there or whatnot. And that opened in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
COVID happened. And in COVID, you managed to thrive.
Yeah.
And now you just opened your first brick and mortar.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. And you seem to be hitting the ground running with it, huh?
It has been an amazing experience so far. And it has far surpassed my expectations in terms of how supportive the community has been. The receptiveness to our taqueria downtown on Court Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, again, just been beautiful. I had a lot of ideas for how this opening would go.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have been more surprised by how amazing the experience has been. If I had to complain, it would be I'm so tired because I'm working literally all the time.
Yeah, okay. Well, you are working all the time, but you're also like you're running a marathon.
And
this
I'm
year.
Running a marathon.
You got a lot of stuff going
on. It's true.
You're involved in a whole lot.
It's true.
So, tell us about what it was like starting. All right. So, this is all the taqueria is based, came out of Mexico City. Did you go on a trip there?
I've been to Mexico City a lot of times.
Why?
So, I'll try to keep this origin story very brief and very short.
Okay.
I have a very old Instagram post from like 2014 where I said I would start a taco truck in 2020 never, you know, but I had this passion for making tacos and I would always do the little cheese thing on the taco for my friends and they'd all be like, wow, your tacos are so good. But I never thought I could actually own a taco place or own a restaurant. It was never in my mind as something that was possible for me. I also recognize that there are a lot of issues for other entrepreneurs. So I thought the first thing to do would be to support folks who are like me and help them also have access to opportunities. Because if they had opportunities, then in theory, I would also have the same opportunities. So that's where the work with Mortar was so important.
Okay.
And then once Mortar was kind of at this place of success, I thought, well, maybe I can pursue my own thing at some point. But then I went to Mexico City for the first time. Anthony Bourdain is my spiritual hero. He's someone I admire. I have his portrait in my house, and I just care about him so much. And when he passed away, I was like, what would he do? And I was grieving, and I thought, he'd probably go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
So I went to Mexico City, and I ate Apple Star tacos for the first time, and I was like my brain did something it had never done before.
Yeah.
And my passion was activated. And I came back to Cincinnati and I was like, where can I eat this taco? I need to find this experience again. And I couldn't find it. At least I felt like I couldn't find it. So my best friend, Billy, who also brought me to Cincinnati, he encouraged me to go on eBay, buy this $1,000 backyard barbecue thing, mm-hmm. and test the idea out. That's also like the mortar ethos. Test it out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I would start cooking for my friends on the weekends. And we would keep selling out, and more people would come. And I was like, man, there might be something here. So then I decided, well, I'm going to try this thing. So I decided to transition from working at Mortar to being on their board and pursuing this thing full time. And that was in December of 2021 or something. The next year, that March, pandemic happens. So I had to figure it out very, very early on. How was I going to navigate this new changing landscape? I was creative. I was lucky. I got an opportunity to partner with the amazing folks at Barceso. Mm-hmm. They gave me a chance to have a taco truck in their patio. And then, as they say, the rest is history.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
So now that was your first Mexico City trip. And since then, you've been back a bunch?
I've been there, if I had to give a specific number, 27 times.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, and how many, and what time frame here?
4 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It's my second home.
Oh, my God. I've never been to Mexico City, but I really want to go.
It's going to change your life.
That's what I hear.
It's an amazing place.
I'm on a group thread with my best friends from Telluride. I used to live in Telluride, Colorado. And one day, we were all just, there are three of us. We were mm-hmm. talking about something. And our friend sends a photo, and she's like, I'm on a hot air balloon ride in Mexico City right now, you guys. And this is life-changing. Like, you have to do it.
For sure.
Like, and the feeling I got from that photo was fantastic.
It's like the United States has its own rhythm. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, we're all in the same container. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's important to remove yourself from that container and to realize that there are other ways of living okay. and experiencing life.
Yeah.
And to be in Mexico City, you get to experience life in a completely different way. And for me, it is recharging, it is healing, and it reminds me, like we're saying about sometimes going through hard times, what's really important. So I try to go there as often as I can.
Oh, that's really cool. That was motivating me even more. I was just picking my next trip to go on.
You should do it.
And I already love Mexico. Mexican culture is my favorite, maybe because other than America, it's the country I've spent the most time in already.
Yeah.
And I just freaking love everything about it.
It's awesome. And Pata Roja, as a taqueria, the intent is to replicate the authentic Mexico City taqueria. Iconic all around the world. You go there and you would hopefully experience something very similar to what you would experience at Pata Roja.
So what makes it authentic to Mexico City specifically?
A couple of things. One is Al Pastor tacos. It's mm-hmm. two things, the Al Pastor taco and the Campechano taco. Those two tacos are the quintessential Mexico City street food and taqueria taco.
Okay.
So for us to have that on our menu, if you know, you would see them at both places.
I know Al Pastor. And what's the other one?
Campechano.
I don't know what that
so
one is.
So Campechano is a mixture of multiple meats. We use mm-hmm. pork shoulder, beef brisket, and chorizo. In Mexico City, they make it in a huge braising pot.
Yeah.
And it like cooks in its liquids. We have to kind of work our way with, given our limited space. But it's the same concept of three meats cooked together and you eat it in a taco. So you find them all over Mexico City. They are awesome there. And I think ours is also very, very, very good. So that's one thing is having these tacos. Mm-hmm. Another thing is the aesthetic of the space.
Mm-hmm.
You see things like tiles.
Mm-hmm.
There's tiles in all kinds of taquerias in Mexico City. And there's also this intentionality around design. So you see things like hand-painted signs or whatever. Yeah. And Pata Roja in our style tries to replicate that same thing. And then the third thing I think is it's community. Mm-hmm. I think Mexican people and in Mexico City, there's such an emphasis on community and food being a way to bring people together. And I think Pata Roja tries to have that same ethos of tacos are for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a thing that can bring so many people together. So that's what we're trying to do and recreate.
Oh, I think you're definitely doing so. And did you ever think that you would be a chef, like working in the culinary world?
Never.
What was your, what is your background in before Mortar? What were you, where'd you go to school? Like, what were you thinking?
I went to Wittenberg University, small school.
Heck yeah, I know Wittenberg. Ohio, right they have a lacrosse, they have a girls high school lacrosse tournament there every year that kicks off the season. And mm-hmm. I played in it, then I coached in it for years back in the day. So yes, I know Wittenberg just from that.
And you know how great of a school it is.
Yes, very, very school. Great school. Yeah.
I studied political science and thought I'd be a politician one day. And then I went to Wittenberg, learned about politics, and decided never again.
you know what? Similarly, I wanted to be a politician as well. And I went to a law school because I was like, well, if I want to be, I did not go to law school. I started working in a law firm when I was younger and with dreams of like, well, I should probably go to law school if I want to work in politics. Because I was on the speech and debate team in school as well. And then I worked at a law firm and was like, hell no.
Right.
And then I learned more and more about politics and human rights and was like, hell no.
Right.
So I'm glad you had a similar journey.
Yeah.
People who go into it are crazy.
But we learned, right?
We learned a lot.
We dipped our I dipped my toes in it and I was like, maybe not for me.
Yeah.
But this idea of human rights and activism and social justice is something that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. My parents instilled to me at a very young age that we have a world that sometimes isn't fair, but it's our duty as humans to try to make it a better place.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been trying to do. And being in a place like Cincinnati, being in a place like Indianapolis, I was very cognizant of some of the inequalities that were around me.
Mm-hmm.
And from some of my readings and studying via political science, I read Booker T. Washington, Malcolm X, you know, philosophers like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that one of the best ways for us to achieve some level of equity in our system is through entrepreneurship and economic opportunity. So that's where the mortar story started. And I thought maybe I could do something. So real quick, my background is in fundraising.
Okay.
I have had some luck and some experience raising money for causes that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
So my role at Mortar initially was fundraising and development, helping bring resources into the organization. And then I left for Potter Roja.
Wow. You've done so much. It's super cool.
Yeah.
And whether, I don't know if you see this or not, but to me it makes sense to see what you're doing now and how you're doing it. Now knowing just that bit about it, I'm like, oh, this makes no sense. This is Derek all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yes.
So Mortar is expanding. Do you have goals for Potter Roja to expand as well?
My goal for now is to have Potter Roja as a self-sufficient restaurant that every single day can consistently put out great food. That's my one goal right now.
Mm-hmm.
My long-term goal is to open a taqueria in Mexico somewhere. That's my long-term goal.
Wow. Will you open it in Baja?
I'm thinking more of like Mexico City.
Yeah.
I'm more of a city guy. You been to Baja?
Yeah.
There's two. There's Baja Sur.
And then, yeah.
In Baja, California.
Yeah, not Baja, California, but the
yes. It's like Cabo, is that?
Yeah,
there?
You fly into Cabo and then drive for hours. Yeah.
How is it?
Fantastic.
I heard great things. Like the seafood I hear is incredible.
It is. It's talk about great seafood and great tacos, and everything comes out of it, right out of the ocean. Then it's put into a cooler, and then, you know, whatever. No, but I just said Baja, because that's really where I've spent, like, so much time in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm probably going to go there. No, but I really want to go to Mexico City. So.
One day.
Yes.
Well, one day I hope to have a taqueria in Mexico City. But in the meantime, my goal is to make sure our downtown location is great. We have our food truck. I want to take that thing out in the streets.
Yeah.
And also some of my personal goals. Mm-hmm. I want to run this marathon this year. I want to continue to try to find a way to stay healthy within the midst of all the chaos around me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I'm healthy and I'm in a good place, that opens doors for Potter Roja down the line as well.
So you guys are still operating as the food truck and as your brick and mortar, right?
Yeah, we are.
So I know you've done a lot of life changes over this past year. Do you see that accelerating your business? Like, I can say myself included and maybe a lot of other people are like, man, if I just stopped doing X, Y, and Z, I could really, you know, it would be a catalyst to, like, perform better in other ways. Have you seen that happen in your life?
I think the biggest mindset shift for me is removing myself and my identity from what I do.
Okay.
Because I think if you're able to do that, then it doesn't really matter. You've created distance between you and outcomes, because no matter what happens, whether you're really high and you're ranked whatever, or you're really low and it feels like things are spiraling out of control, you're good in your heart. So for me, I've decided that I need to make sure that Derek is whole as a human being, because that allows everything else to kind of just flow. Everything else just kind of happens, and you can be secure and safe no matter what happens around you.
Would you mind telling me if you feel comfortable, some of the things you do in order to create that space, that feeling within yourself, and what exactly that means?
For sure. The number one thing is my sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
So
super cool. I love sobriety journeys.
Yeah, so I decided as Potter Roja was ramping up that I needed to just have some more security. And I felt that one way that I could provide more security is around my relationship with drinking and partying and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to stop drinking. And as of March 1st, it's been 7 months. Yes. And thank you. I think being clear-minded has allowed me to experience the ups and downs of life. and not have to medicate or escape or run. I can face those things and know that regardless of what happens, Derek's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I've had so much fear, and I've needed things to kind of medicate that fear and insecurity. And I think my sobriety has allowed me to step as my whole self and not really worry about what other people think or what might happen in life. So
yeah,
that was the biggest thing right now has been my sobriety. The second thing is I've been exercising a lot, preparing for this marathon. And my running has also taught me discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up in the morning and I run. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter if it's raining outside. I wake up and I do it. And having a set schedule every day, knowing what I'm going to get myself into, has allowed me also to kind of build up some of my confidence. So I'll say those two things have really helped a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think for everyone, their journey is different. I've also had to find a really great therapist who I can talk to if I'm having a difficult time, who helps me make sense of what's happening around me. So I think I would say for me, that's really helped my journey. For everyone, it's different, but that's been really supportive for me.
Oh, that's crazy. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And I would say I just think it's crazy awesome that you're going this and that you're choosing yourself above all, you know? And do you mind telling me, if you feel comfortable again, like some of the things that you were scared of? You said earlier that you had like a mentality of scarcity and fearful of things. Like what are some of the things?
I've been given a lot of opportunities in my life and I fear letting people down.
Yeah.
I'm a huge people pleaser and I fear that if I had to the universe brought, I fear that I have to look someone in the eye and say I failed, and that embarrassment and shame and letting someone down were situations that I've always tried to avoid in my life. So I would run or I'd medicate or whatever just to avoid disappointing somebody else.
Really? Well, it seems like you've put yourself out there a lot in life.
Yeah.
Which is also like creating potential space for failure as well.
It's true.
So I think maybe you're doing a little better than you thought, but I understand being harder on yourself. I am in a total opposite role. I feel like I've evolved a lot recently as well because I stopped. I was so strict about no matter how much sleep I got, I would wake up and I would get to my exercise and I would do this and I would do this. And I put so much pressure on myself about it all that I started to take on too much work, and I learned the hard way that I cannot.
Yes.
I cannot do that.
Yes.
And I had a true combustion in December.
Mm-hmm.
And now 2024 is like out the window, trying to create a whole new schedule. So was that for you? Is this the first time you've been like prioritizing exercise and doing all of this type of stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to hear, what did you learn from your combustion?
I learned listening to myself is the most important thing I can do. And it's you can hear yourself, then you can actually listen.
Right.
And I felt like I heard what my mind, body, and soul was telling me for a long time, and I ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
Also through, I'm at events all the time. There's alcohol there. I'll have a drink. I'll have two drinks. And I got to the point by the end of December where I would like cry before I went to things that I willingly signed up to do and love doing. I got to wear great outfits to go. I posted pictures of me smiling, you know, because I really did want to be there, but like I couldn't handle it. Like I truly was sensory overload, exhausted, and physically tired from pushing myself too hard at the gym. I retore my MCL meniscus, the meniscus is gone. But anyway, but I learned to listen to myself and to actually honor myself.
Right.
And to not, you know, to say no more. And that for me has been huge. I also am a people pleaser, and telling people, it's just little, for me, it's little things.
Right.
Like, Natalie, just, are you hungry now? Or like, go to the bathroom now instead of this. Or like, don't do this. You know, I feel like I'm not making any sense with it. But all the little things that add up.
I got it. I think you deserve to know yourself at your best.
Yeah.
Not.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
You know, it's so easy for us to know how we feel when we're sad or angry or whatever. But how often do we get to know ourselves at our best?
Yeah.
I think we kind of learn from hitting rock bottom that we kind of deserve to also feel the other end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
Too. So that's kind of the journey that I'm on is, I felt that, I don't like that, and I know something had to change.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out what it's like on the other end.
So you worked in the being at the bar stage, but you're really into I would say the scene in Cincinnati, you know, and through all of the all of the friends. And even like this weekend, you and Billy had a Pisces party.
Yes, and Laura Hughes.
And I don't know who that is. Who's Laura Hughes?
Laura is a great friend of ours as well. Oh, she's also a Pisces.
Nice. Okay, so what exactly does it... Okay, tell me, like, well, number one, how was the Pisces party?
It was incredible.
You had a La Frienda?
La Frienda, yep.
I asked you earlier, who was the DJ?
We had a couple DJs. Okay. We had DJ Yoshi and DJ Monet, who are both incredible DJs.
Yeah.
Let me also say, the best thing about the party was we were able to raise money for a good friend of ours. His name is Nick Mundy.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick is someone who's been a great friend of mine. He's been a life coach of mine, and he's someone that has unfortunately had to deal with cancer 3 times.
Man.
And he's currently recovering and fighting in, I believe he's in Arizona right now. Mm-hmm. And we were able to use the day as a way to, one, raise awareness to the fight of an incredible human being, but also to raise some money that we can use to support him in his recovery. So, yes, we had a great time dancing the night away, but I think we're most proud that we were able to say to a friend and a great human being, we love you, we care about you, and we're here for you.
Oh, that's so cool. Congrats. I mean, that's even better. See, you in the community is so great. Can I ask you, like, going back to Pata Roja,
sure.
How did you learn how to cook the food? Who taught you how to cook the food?
Great question. Well, one is I'm a bit of a curious person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been to Mexico, like I mentioned, mm-hmm. a lot. And I've taken a lot of cooking classes. I've traveled all around Mexico, and I've taken cooking classes regionally to try to learn mm-hmm. how different things are made there. I also got an opportunity to work in a taqueria in Mexico City for a month.
You did? How cool is this? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so... I wanted to learn if I could really cook in a kitchen. So I thought, well, why not just go to Mexico City and work in a restaurant? So mm-hmm. I did for a month. I read Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain
yeah.
on the plane down there. I tried to learn as much Spanish as I could in a couple weeks. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I decided I'm going to throw myself into the situation. So I worked Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. until 3 a.m., and they kicked my butt, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I worked my tail off. They taught me so much, gave me so much love and support. I was really worried about how, one, I don't want to mess up someone else's place.
Yeah.
I also was worried, you know, I carry a lot of baggage from the U.S. to my experiences in Mexico, and I was like, how would this African-American guy be treated in this place? Would it be weird? It was the greatest experience. I learned so much. So from there, I just kept going back to Mexico City, kept taking cooking classes,
mm-hmm.
did trial and error myself here in Cincinnati, asked my friends if they liked the food or not. I've gotten some great feedback. I've gotten yeah. some hurtful feedback, but I learned
yeah, right.
regardless of that. And here we are. You know, again, I'm not Mexican, and I want to make sure that people from Mexico know that I'm honoring and respecting their culture and doing everything that I can to provide an experience that lets them know that someone is being intentional, that someone is showing care, that someone is showing love in the same way that I felt that. So I've gone above and beyond the call of duty to look at every single aspect of Pata Roja to make sure that it's done at a really high level to respect a community and a culture that's done the same for me.
Wow. That's such a gift.
I try.
Oh,
I try really
gosh.
Hard.
That's really cool. You know, someone was in here recently, Christian Gill.
Great
and
person.
And we were talking about, I was asking me about other chefs in the scene. And he was like, you know, it's changed so much. And he brought up you and he said, like,
wow.
Derek, for instance, he said, you know, he's not a classically trained chef. He makes, you know, everybody said dank ass. He makes a really great product. He makes really great tacos. And that's his thing. And like, he's a chef and he makes tacos and he doesn't own a restaurant cooking steaks or whatnot, you know, but
mm-hmm.
like, this is what he does. He's like, he said now that the chef scene is just so expansive and you're one of those reasons.
Yeah, that's really humbling to hear someone like Chef Christian say that to me. I'm not a chef.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to culinary school, but I've learned. And I think that also shows that Cincinnati is in a really great place right now, that there's so many opportunities that a black guy who's not even Mexican, who doesn't even have classical chef training, can open
yeah.
a location on Court Street and be accepted and invited to do more in this community. I don't know. It just feels really exciting right now.
Oh, that's super, super cool. Are there other entrepreneurs out there? Because obviously you've been in the entrepreneur scene in Cincinnati for a long time.
Yeah,
I think
a long time.
There have been a lot of great things come, a lot of great things go. You've been an integral part of it. What are some advice things you could give? Like when I was 24, I tried to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky that I had, like, my uncle was a lawyer, so he made the LLC for me. And then,
mm-hmm.
And I had this idea, but I had this concept, but I had no idea how to put it on paper or like really what I was doing. And then I got scared. I brought a friend in, and we were just young and didn't know what we were doing. And then I got a tattoo of it, and then I kind of started traveling, and like, it never happened. And I wish that there would have been more then, because I would have stayed with it, because I still think about it all the time, you know, who knows? So
why not start it now? Yeah, my advice would be just to start.
Yeah.
Just like, it sounds like you're doing, and it's going to be messy and hard and beautiful and all those things,
mm-hmm.
but you have to kind of release yourself and separate yourself from outcomes and know that it's a journey, and no matter what, all you have to do is recognize that it's a part of the process. You have to trust that process and see what happens. Sometimes it's going to go the way you want. Most times it's not, mm-hmm. but that's okay. That's yeah. a part of life, and I think once you kind of go through that and experience that, no matter what happens on the business side, I think you'll be a better person at the end of the journey.
Yeah. Do you think that your Pata Roja, because it's not just a restaurant, okay? It's not. I really don't want to insult what you're doing by just a restaurant. It's so much more.
Thank you.
Do you feel that, I mean, what have been some of the trials and tribulations you've gone through to get yourself where you are right now?
Oh, my goodness. We don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
I mean, the trials and tribulations, the big trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Running out of money.
Yeah.
All the time.
Number one, yeah.
Being an inch from catastrophe all the time. The pandemic was one of the hardest experiences any person, let alone any entrepreneur, has mm-hmm. experienced. The rules and expectations and all that stuff changes all the time. You know, I think as entrepreneurs, we're expected to be great at everything, and we're not. That's not human nature. So I think trying to do a lot and to do it at a certain level is very, 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 very hard. There's also something. Oh, one more thing I want to say. One thing that is also very hard, but also, you know, there's pros and cons to it. There are things like Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that would come to our taqueria, and I would say the overwhelming majority have a great experience, but you might have one or two who are very opinionated that can then go on the internet and say whatever they want.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind of have to play defense.
Yeah.
And as much as I appreciate platforms like that, giving people a chance to rate businesses, I think on the other end of that spectrum, it also gives a voice to some people that are just haters. And that's annoying sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can say, but haters are a good thing. I have in my, now that my job is, you know, somewhat public, I've had a lot of haters over the years, and it used to really cripple me.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to get used to it. But now I think whenever you have a hater, it's a good thing. Like, it means that somebody's paying attention. You caught their attention, and they cared enough to go out of their way to shit on you, which I think is a compliment no matter what.
That's a very optimistic way of looking at
mm-hmm.
it.
I'm like, you took 7 minutes out of your day to do this. Thank you. And I always respond, especially when I get emails, I always respond with, you know, we live in a country where you're allowed to express. Hold on. We live in a country that's constantly evolving. And change doesn't happen unless people express their opinions just like you're doing now. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great day.
I want to be you when I grow up.
You know? Oh, my God.
That's beautiful.
It's really me just being like, whatever, you know? I want to ask, was this difficult for you? I would think that this might be something you'd be scared of, being a leader in the entrepreneurial space and then actually taking a step back and becoming an entrepreneur yourself.
Very, very, very challenging.
I can see that would
very,
be, yeah.
very, very challenging. But again, very, very rewarding to accept a very difficult task
mm-hmm.
and to kind of try.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where the journey is going to lead for me, but I can say that I can look in the mirror and say I looked at a mountain and I'm climbing it and I'm yeah. trying. I'm in the arena fighting and I'm very proud of that. So it's definitely a difficult journey. Like I said before, there are a lot of trials and tribulations along the way. A lot of times where I thought, why am I doing this? I can do something else. That's not going to be as stressful or overwhelming, but I love it.
Do you ever at times be like, why did I want to just like make taco? Like what, you know, do you ever, dumb it down so much? Like what am I doing?
No.
I love you. That's so awesome.
I love it. I'm living the dream right now.
Oh, you so are. How did you come up with the name and where did it
Yeah, so the name Pata Roja means red leg in Spanish, mm-hmm. and it's a way to connect my love for Mexico City and my love for Cincinnati, and it's via their baseball teams. So the Reds, they're nicknamed the Red Legs, and the Mexico City baseball team, technically they're the Diablos. However, their nickname is also the Reds. So it's a name of connecting those two worlds. And also the Alpestor Trompo, it looks like a big red leg. So it's just, again, a way for me to connect the two worlds together.
Oh, my God, that is so cool.
Thank you.
I had no idea.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't know if this is in part of your dream board but or your vision board, but maybe if I could eat a Pata Roja taco while I'm at a Cincinnati baseball game.
That would be awesome. That's the goal for sure.
That would be pretty cool.
I agree.
So do you have friends now, since you've been to Mexico City so much, like mm-hmm. when you go back there, you stay with?
I've got a great community down there.
Okay. And sure. Are they Americans?
They're all over the world. I mean, there's a great expat community that's down in Mexico City. People are starting to recognize that they can ignore some of these stereotypes about Mexico and Mexico City and see that it's this beautiful, amazing, welcoming place. So there's a lot of people from the United States that are there living the dream, honestly.
Well, it's a big art community as
Huge art community, for sure. But I also have a lot of Mexican friends as well.
So, and you said earlier you're learning how to speak Spanish now?
Sí.
How is that going?
Awesome. Yeah. I take classes twice a day on Sundays and Mondays.
Wow.
And also I get a chance to practice when I'm at work with my employees and our customers.
Oh, okay. So can you say something to me in Spanish?
Sí. ¿Qué quieres saber?
What does that mean?
What do you want to know?
Oh, gotcha. Can you say that? What am I wearing on my head? Their headphones.
¿Qué estoy usando en mi cabeza?
Ooh, yay! I know cabeza's head.
Sí.
I took 16 years of Spanish. I can speak zero. I can, like, sometimes recognize a word or two. But.
You are a global citizen. And I think as global citizens, we have an obligation to be able to talk with other people in their language.
It's very, very true.
It is true.
Very true. I can say I did once spend, I was spent like a month in Mexico at a time, but mm-hmm. like around white people speaking English.
Yeah.
You know? But I did spend a couple weeks in Costa Rica when I was younger. And by the end of it, I was naturally speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
It was just coming to me. And,
yeah.
And it really piqued my, like somebody would ask, like I would just say sí, and I would just start talking in Spanish. That's like my gut reaction,
mm-hmm.
which gave me a really good feeling that, like, oh, I could probably learn, actually.
Highly encourage you, because also learning a new language, it forces you to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you become more comfortable making mistakes when you're talking, it opens up doors for other things. You may be less worried about making mistakes in other areas when you're already used to it when you're learning a new language. So something to think about.
You're so great, Derek. You're like so positive. You're looking to the future.
Thank you.
I love it so much. For
I appreciate
real.
You.
And briefly before we end here, so you're from Northern Virginia?
Yep.
Where in Northern Virginia?
Right outside the DC area. It's okay. Technically called Springfield, Virginia.
Okay, cool. I lived in Annapolis when I was a little kid for a little bit.
Right on.
Loved it. And then I've gone back a lot professionally over the years and for vacay or whatnot. You
DMV.
Know? Yeah, I love the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I love DC actually has a really great art scene as
well. It does. Mm-hmm.
And I'm big on, I guess when I was younger and traveling around a lot, I was just like following cool art shit I wanted to go see or whatnot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So your birthday is tomorrow.
It is.
Happy birthday.
Gracias.
De nada.
There we go. Look at us. Look at us.
Shit. I can say, one of my favorite artists ever, Jen Stark. Funny birthday story, okay? Because do you have plans tomorrow for your birthday?
Working.
Work.
It's Taco Tuesday, baby.
What a bad bitch.
Let's go.
Well, I'm going to have to get in there then. Hello. I'm supposed to. On Tuesdays now, I do improv classes, but I don't think I can make it tomorrow. So, anyway, a couple years. I go on a trip for my birthday every year.
Okay.
All right. And for 36, 34, 35, one of them, I went to New York City. And my favorite artist, Jen Stark, had an installation at some art. I don't know art gallery names in New York, but I really wanted to go. And my favorite band, Jungle, was playing. So we're like,
Love Jungle. My God,
this is going to be so awesome. Dude, I've seen Jungle so many times now. They're just the best.
They're best. I agree.
They're the absolute best. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're so much better live, too. Mm-hmm. Like, they're one of those so live. They sound the same, but like better. Anyway, so we're very excited. We arrive on a Friday after work. And Saturday, we're going to go see the art Jen Stark during the day and then go to Jungle at night. And then we had to get on a flight Sunday morning. Super quick trip. We get there Friday, have a blast. We stay in Hotel One in Brooklyn. It's so great. It has a pool on the rooftop. We're having a blast. We're like bawling. Oh, my God. And so as we're having our like morning mimosas, I'm like, all right, let's look up and see where this art gallery is. Because I'm like with my boyfriend at the time. And I'm like, babe, we're going to get there when it opens. Go, we're going to attack this day. I'm going to spend the whole day in Manhattan. It's going to be fantastic. Only to find out, because I didn't do any research before, they're closed on Saturdays.
Wow.
So I couldn't see any of it.
Wow.
So we ended up doing a whole bunch of other shit, though, but we still got to see Jungle. So
it's a good consolation prize.
It was a fun time.
I am questioning spending a whole day in Manhattan for your birthday, though.
What?
Go to Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, we were in Brooklyn, but we did. We ended up not going to Manhattan because we didn't have to. And so we ended up taking a boat from Brooklyn to Coney Island to see Jungle because they were playing on Coney Island. So it ended up being great.
Awesome.
We ended up just staying in Brooklyn the whole time. Ate like 17 different pieces of pizza.
As one does.
It was fantastic. And then we ended up having like a great time, you know. But, all right. Well, thank you so much for coming. I feel like this
thank
is the
you.
First of many. I have like this whole series of chefs coming out on the Person of Interest podcast. So thank you for being one of my first guests in 2024.
I appreciate you.
Happy birthday, Derek.
Thank you.
Where can everybody find you and follow you?
You can find me working at Pataroja Hot Tacos most
always.
Days. At Pataroja, Pataroja Tacos. Please follow us. You could follow me on Instagram, Derek Brazil, DerickBraziel. You're the best. I appreciate this.
You're the best. Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.